County, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston. Follow me.
Roger, Jim. In regard to your evaporator, we feel that if you do have a similar problem next time on the backside in sunlight, check the evaporator outlet temperature, and if it gets above 60, we concur that it would be a good idea to bring up the secondary loop. Over. Houston, when we say bring up the secondary loop, we mean bring up the evaporator only on the secondary loop. Copy.
Roger.
Roger.
Considering not only the quantity in regard to the dump, but also effects on the trajectory relative to TEI and so forth, but we'll have a good answer for you shortly.
We're not just thinking about the wastewater tank, we're thinking about some other kind of water that has to get dumped out of the spacecraft. Slightly used water.
Right, we understand. Here, we have about 3.5 minutes to LOS. We give you back the DSE under your control, and in regard to your water dump, we're tentatively predicting a wastewater tank dump at about 80 hours GET, and any other dumps are your discretion any time you'd like to make them.
Thank you.
People listening to the high bit rate down here say it's like sitting in your living room listening to a good hi-fi. Houston, coming up on 2 minutes to LOS. We got a good reservice on the primary evaporator, and everything is still looking very good down here.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Apollo Control, Houston, 76 hours, 58 minutes. The spacecraft will lose lock with Earth in about 1 minute. And start its sixth trip behind the moon. It'll be the start of its sixth rev when it gets to zero. Mike Collins has reminded the crew 1 minute to LOS. And Frank says loud and clear, they'll say their goodbyes. On, you heard nothing much from Bill Anders this pass, and you're not likely to for several more. He is an extremely busy photographer. His column in the flight plan is almost solid with instructions. He's moving from one couch to another. He's moving, using several kinds of cameras, changing lenses. And as busy as one man, one astronaut could be. Jim Lovell is working down at the GNN station, getting pointing data, and the command pilot, in addition to flying the spacecraft, having lunch, has been carrying on a running conversation with his compatriot Mike Collins down here on the Earth. We have lost Locke. We should be back with the crew in 44 minutes. This is Apollo Control at 70. This is Apollo Control, Houston, 77 hours, 32 minutes into the flight. All quiet for approximately the last 20 minutes. We are due to acquire again in about 13 minutes. One of the more interesting system phenomena, I guess we could call it, to come out of these early revolutions around the moon is the temperature variance we're seeing within the environmental control system. The system is proving quite capable to the task, but it's seeing much wider excursions than it sees in Earth orbital flight. And I'm talking about temperatures on the variances, excursions, I guess the proper word, of 40 to 50 degrees within the system. That's not in the cabin. Of 40 to 50 degrees, whereas the same at the same point in Earth orbital flight between the light and the dark side might see an excursion of on the order of 10 to 15 degrees. Again, the environmental control system is handling the cabin very nicely. It's been purposely set up somewhat warmer than yesterday and some previous days. The crew prefers a cabin up in the higher 70s, and that's where it's run consistently today, 77 to 79. But again and again, we hear action on the water boiler as we come around from the dark side into the sun side, and this phenomenon, I'm sure, will be examined at more length at the change of shift briefing and as the flight progresses. No new conversation report. All's well at 77 hours, 34 minutes in the flight. This is Apollo Control, Houston, 77 hours, 49 minutes into the flight, and just 3 minutes ago we acquired Apollo 8 as it came around the corner on this fifth revolution around the moon. Here's the conversation as it progresses.
Apollo 8, this is Houston, over. Clear. Welcome back.
Roger, looks like the evaporator is holding okay, or at least it's starting to. It dropped the temperature down to about 32, and now it's coming back up again and stabilized at about 42 degrees.
Roger, copy though. Houston.
Roger, Houston, this is Apollo 8. What we're doing on the control point tracking, I managed to look for CP1 at the same time we were trying to do CP2 on this rev. I picked two marks which are just as small but more easily recognizable than the ones that were given to me. I know that I can repeat the process of picking the same small points on the next revs. Now, I can try to look for the control points that are ripped down, but I think that I have better control over the ones that we have.
Roger, Jim. Understand. We'll check that way. Identify those precisely on a map, over.
That's affirmative. That's why I picked them. They're both very prominent features and they're both very small craters, about the same size as the ones we were looking for, but I can pinpoint them on a map.
Roger.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Apollo 8, Houston, over.
Roger, one more comment. Since it's offered a lot of controversy at data priority meetings, it looks like 10 degrees pitch up is the best attitude to obtain the horizon so that you can follow the landmark down through the scanning telescope. If you're pitched down any more, full up trunnion will not gather or get the horizon, and the horizon is a great help at leading yourself into the control point.
Concur with your use of the two small craters, which you can repeatedly mark on and find on the map. And also, if you'll give us your new latitudes and longitudes, we can compute for you a time of closest approach to those points with the spacecraft 10 degrees pitched up. Over.
Roger, Houston. CP1, latitude. -606269. Longitude over 2. -78954. Altitude +00152. For CB2, latitude -09638. Longitude over 2. +81691. Altitude -00007. I tried to get CP3 at the same pass, but I let it go by to get set up for this first track at the landing site.
Roger. On CP1, would you say again the latitude, and on CP2, say again the longitude over 2, please?
Roger. CP1 latitude -06269. That's the latitude, and for longitude over 2 for CP2 +81691.
Okay, we copy, Jim. Thank you.
And it appears that resolve medium is a very good combination to track.
Roger, understand. Resolve medium.
Pitch motion is required to get five marks on the target in plenty of time.
Roger, I understand you require no spacecraft motion to get five marks.
And that brings us up to this point. We've had no additional comments now for perhaps a minute or so. That's excellent data, though, precisely the kind of data that we had hoped to get. The navigational side of lunar orbit, which will be so invaluable to both the future command module and LEM flights around the moon. Lovell will continue to in his navigational work, and dear old Bill Anders is sitting over off in one corner there, squeezing off pictures at a rate that most professional photographers wouldn't believe. Frank Borman is entering a rest period here, which is to extend for 3 hours. It's doubtful he'll really go to sleep, but he's been excellent about following the flight plan to date. He'll probably at least rest.
At 77 hours, 57 minutes into the flight, this is Apollo Control, Houston. Apollo Control, Houston here, 78 hours, 19 minutes into the flight. We've had a few sporadic conversations with two very hard-working pilots. Actually, I guess all the conversations have been with one, Jim Lovell. In the last few minutes, here's a collection of those conversations.
Apollo 8, Houston. I am about 15 minutes early with the TEI 6 update and a map update. I'll have them here whenever it's convenient for you to copy.
Okay,
Apollo 8, Houston. Roger, we'd like to ask you to stop using auto optics on the pseudo landing site. It's necessary that we send you up a P-27 to update the RLS value stored in the computer. Over.
Roger, I found a partner. I went to manual optics speed 1.
Roger, understand. Roger, if you'd go to Poo and accept, please, we're going to send you a P-27 load, which will update an RLS value, which will be followed by a procedural change Jim will give you later, and auto optics should be working shortly. Houston, we're also sending you up a state vector update at the same time.
Okay, we'll be expecting that.
Apollo 8, Houston, we're taking the DSC for a dump, over. Apollo 8, Houston, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
Roger, we'd like to take Bill's DSC for a dump, over.
And that brings us up to snuff with all the tape of this pass. I think we're going to go back to live action. Let's cut up there. Our orbit, this Rev 60, shows a 62-mile apogee, a 60.1-mile perigee. Perigee occurring at 10 degrees south by 101 degrees east. And apogee occurring at 10 degrees north by 78 degrees west. Here goes a call.
Your band.
Apollo 8, Houston. Roger. I have updates, a map update for Rev 5/6 and a TEI 6 update. Which would you like first?
Okay, I'm at the map update page now. Why don't you give me that one?
Okay, map update for Rev 5/6. LOS 78-58-49. Sunrise 79-08-07. Prime Meridian 79-14-30. AOS 79-44-36. Sunset 80-21-05. IP 1, time of closest approach to target B1, 80-09-08. Now your two new control points that Jim gave us, control point number 1, acquisition 79-10-32. Control point number 2, acquisition 79-23-14. Over.
Roger, you got me ready for the TEI.
Okay, Bill, before we read the big TEI update here, I'd like to just give Jim briefly a procedure for P-22. When he comes to noun 89, we request that he do a verb 34 enter, do not proceed, and by so doing then he will not incorporate the Latin longitude from his mark, and he will not change the reference value of the landing site, and we will solve this auto optics problem. Over.
Let me see if I have this correct, Mike. When flashing 0689 comes up with the latitude and longitude information, I will not proceed, but we'll go to verb 34 and terminate. Is that correct?
That's affirmative. Do a verb 34 enter instead of a proceed. And that will...
All right, is this technique true? Houston, is this technique true for both the known control point auto optics on G25?
Stand by one, Jim.
And the left.
That's affirmative, Apollo 8. That is always true.
Okay, Roger, true for the code auto optics and the nomad mark. I'll proceed instead of going on, or I'll use 34 instead of proceeding on 89.
Roger, thank you, Jim, and I have the TEI 6R when you're ready, or TEI number 6.